Good afternoon, August the 20th. This is a conversation with Cameron Booth, with participants Bill Mace, Bob Shaw, and Bob Shaw's wife, Dot. We are looking at paintings and discussing painting with Cameron Booth this afternoon.
People will say, well, I saw a painting of yours and start describing it, and it didn't anything I ever saw. Those are buildings is across the street from my brother's home in Pittsburgh. But the colors were unusual on those houses. I've been there as a girl down running down the street. Those are the colors and color of the grass and stuff around it. I know, that is more. Maybe you'll come to it. Horses in it.
Yeah.
And a blue door. I think they sold it.
It was spent sometimes.
Put a mark. The pilot and inmates are called. It's east of Yellowstone. I painted out around there, and there was an old fellow who had become a photographer and had been a guide and lived out there all his life. Ned Frost. And you know, whatever I would show him like this, he'd say, yes, I know where that is, and then he'd go ahead and tell me. Oh, and he knew the country from Mexico clear up to Alaska. And this is a dead Indian pass. He knew that. And any of those things that were, he knew this. Outside of Cody. That wasn't far from his home. And this one
has a
Trout Creek ranch, and the people who were there, the older couple who were there with a little girl, there's a story back of it. The old couple were very wealthy, and they let their daughter go west, and she married this cowboy, and then they bought that ranch. And the little girl was standing by the gate here when I was painting this. And when I was through, she said, I just got a new watch, and I timed you. It took you 47 minutes to paint that. We got to know those people real well, and they had the girl at the divorced and given up the ranch, and the old couple had moved out. And he had a seat on the stock market in New York, which I understand is quite an unusual thing. That looks like a horse.
That's a little more like a barnyard.
But it could be to paint it. It'd have to be painted just as crude as that is.
Yeah.
Blow it up exactly that way with all its roughness, mm-hmm. And you'd have to load the paint on real thick, put it on with a trowel, I guess. I don't know, it isn't the kind of thing I would want to paint, but I like the little sketch.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
These are studies of horses. Long time ago. Believe it or not, those horses were in a yard on the corner of Nicollet and 26th Street. And I came to Minneapolis. The old fellow had a dray. There's part of the dray wagon. See the stakes? And he would go down to the depot and haul baggage and move people, move furniture.
Is that with a belt?
Yeah, it's one of those
it makes
markers,
it so spontaneous because you can't change anything after you put it down.
No, it goes right through the paper.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I noticed because of, when I'm trying to draw, I labor it too much. I wonder if maybe that's be a good thing to try to use sometime.
Well, when you work this way, these empty spaces really have to lay horizontal or vertical.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you have to think as the sky is lying in behind, and then these is shedding off the space like flat pieces. And these parts would be, like the earth would lay horizontally, like the shapes of the earth, so that you have to use the line to describe the planes or the surfaces, more like putting an outline around a plane, so that the plane goes or moves. Well, I like these, and then this one, and this, and the sky, the whole thing behind all that.
That's really nice.
Interesting shapes.
Yeah.
I've always meant to paint that, but
that's a nice one.
It would be an odd one. Take this as a really strong blue, and then this is another kind of a blue-white, and maybe real bright orange, and you have to get a green in there somewhere, maybe green could come in here. Well, we could go down to this.
It's like that, yeah.
And
the
whole
I really like that, and that's I like the background, and
there's a little crayon drawing of that.
I can
show this one. I'll take it apart so you see what it is. It has the spirit.
It's there. What did you do on your construction of it?
Oh, it isn't really a construction. It's just a way of dividing the canvas so that when I draw...
Oh, so you can...
Yeah, so I know where these things come. Like that comes in the middle. And, but some of these marks, so those two are put in with the
told him me.
Okay.
See, I have that, and it's easy to snap lines across with a line and chalk. You know, uh-huh. Snap them on, and then when you copy a thing like this, you don't get very far off. What I'm apt to do is lose the proportions that I have already in the sketch that I like, and that's what makes it so good. Mm-hmm. Well, I might get this too small, and these horses too small, and the pattern would go mm-hmm. wrong somewhere. This helps guide it.
Using some of the things that Bill and I noticed going on in the painting that he bought from you, and some of the things you said, I did a drawing over the weekend that I like. It's the first one I've done that I've liked, you know, using the planes and cutting off the space. And I kept playing with it too. I did it of the lighthouse up Split Rock. I did a sketch mm-hmm. when we were up there last week. So I came home, it doesn't look much like what's around the lighthouse. I changed it quite a bit,
well,
but it is the lighthouse. It
doesn't matter. That really doesn't matter.
No, I hope not.
No, you can, if you copied it, you'd never be satisfied with it.
Well, I did copy it kind of very quickly, like 20-minute sketch.
Yes.
Then when I got back, it didn't quite look right because everything was sort of open.
That's
and
right,
so
too much negative space around.
So I put a building here that cuts down one side, and then a house here, and then some stairs that went up to it, and it's up here, mm-hmm. and it's closed off here, and a clothesline across here with some things, and a sailor type figure walking up the stairs. And it's the only thing I've done where it looked like I was at least struggling with composition, and I didn't just slap something down.
Yeah, you have to sort of fill up the space.
Yeah,
you know?
I appreciate that now. I never knew what I was doing wrong before.
And it's sort of fun to place those things so they go out and back, and
mm-hmm.
they move one way and up and down another way.
I was looking at this book on Cézanne. It was talking about
Earl
how he tilted the axle points and all this and all those tricks.
That
and
book,
the lines
that book has had a lot of popular acclaim.
Do you agree with his analysis?
Well, Earl was a student of mine years ago, and great skill. He could out-sergeant if he wanted to. Right in the classroom, he painted a portrait of himself, nude, seated with his feet to the mirror. And if he won a Chalmers Foreign Traveling Scholarship for that. And he went to Europe and he lived about 2 years in Cézanne's old house, down at H. Provence. And then he got onto these ideas, which are really German, and Hans Hoffmann, the one who taught them mostly, and
he does have that analytic quality that so many of the German
the funny thing is, I was with Hans Hoffmann, and we used to see this book around New York at nearly every studio. So we'd be sitting up here on the shelf in one place and somewhere else, and Hans and I were at Freddie Haupt's place, and I took the book down and said, "Did you see that?" He asked, he says, "I don't understand it." And it was based on all the teachings of Hoffman, as near as Earl could get it.
I'm not sure I understand it either.
Well,
not for the same reasons.
Earl
learned
this too. Too many of these little things that are going on all over the place. Mm-hmm. He misses the point. See, and he painted like Cézanne, and he kind of missed the spirit of Cézanne, too. He's got great skill. He'd be a wonderful portrait painter. But creatively, he's a pretty damn scholar. Not much happens there. The color doesn't flare, the forms don't seem to work, everything's kind of stiff and drawn in. And then there's another guy there, Earl Lauren, or John Haley, and they were together in the same class over here at the Minneapolis School when I was there. And John, they both had the same degree of skill, but John was more of an artist. He's done a lot of beautiful sculpture and some very, very nice paintings. But Earl didn't seem to have that flair, you know. But he's a smart dude who can write, and he's a great opportunist. And he was instrumental in establishing Hoffman, the museum out at the room, the Hans Hoffman Wing, I guess it is, at Berkeley, the university. He's done a lot of things like that.
Has his own
real astute kind
service
of
the field.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a publisher. And there are two of these prints for each month. And there's quite a variety.
Really lovely.
Wittenborn, that's the address.
Are they sold around town?
No. You could take the address and write to them. And I'll take the other calendar down. There's more information in it. This is a Bonnard.
Yeah.
Very beautiful. See how the color locks over the feel the surface of it.
Yeah. We just looking through a fine book on Bonnard this past week.
It's a beautiful morning. Yeah. The two here, they thought so much of it, I suppose, and reproduced it twice. Good drawing, Roger. That's the present one. And isn't that a stunner?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
She smokes a pipe.
That's
lovely. He had a big show. Did you see it?
No,
it was in Chicago, and then it was out in Los Angeles. I saw it both places.
Yeah. I love his stuff. It's the buffet.
Yeah. I don't like the things he's doing now. I like these earlier ones that were like children's drawings, like graffito. This is an interesting guy.
Yeah. They are nice calendars, huh?
Yep, they're beautiful prints.
How much are they?
Well, the whole thing comes to about
under $4, I think it is.
I think they just put one out on the Tolkien show. Yeah, I saw it. You just told me, I bet they're the same people.
You think they have catalogs in their calendars?
Let's see, this is this is 71, last year's. That you'd be surprised who that is. Lamique.
Ah, no.
Matisse drawing, Derrien. I don't know this guy.
I don't either.
Hundred Wasser. Marino Marini. He had a lot to do with Hitler, or Mussolini. I think he was a secretary of art or something like that in Italy when Mussolini was.
I saw a letter recently by Emil Nolde to Hitler.
Oh?
Yeah, asking why he was being picked on since he was such a good Nazi.
That's
I knew him when he was convalescing in Paris, but after the First World War. And then I used to see him once in a while in New York, too. And he had a studio in one of his arcade buildings up on 63rd, I think it was, 8th Avenue. And the noise, the people walking through, talking, yelling.
That's a nice one.
Isn't that a beautiful?
Yeah, yeah. That's when art's colors are just incredible.
Yeah.
The one at the Art Institute, I think, is really lovely.
Yes. I like this better, though.
Yeah.
This has less reference to impressionist idea of life. Mm-hmm. This becomes more pure color.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful thing, what that blue does, or those.
Mm-hmm.
And these tints, those even through absolute neutral there.
Yeah. That's
and that's about as strong a red orange as you can make.
Mm-hmm.
It shows a yellow with cadmium.
Just never gets out of hand.
No, with the difference in the spirit, temperament of the thing. This thing really glows.
Yeah.
Oh, and green. Quite a nice Modigliani.
Yeah. I like the mural sculpture that they had here not too long ago at the...
Gee, I don't have the... I don't have the information here that $3.50 for the calendar and 60 cents for packing and shipping, I think it is.
Well, that's reasonable.
Those are
really nice.
I've bought a number of these to give to friends.
Yeah, that's a very nice gift.
And every month, twice a month, why they remember you.
It was like this. So there's one horse here, and then this one.
Right.
And there was a horizon that crossed like that in the sky. And it seemed to be altogether too empty, but I liked these horses and I liked the foreground.
Right.
And then when I got the painting, or the drawing, and another painting, a bigger one, something like that, then I used that background behind the horses. Remember I said to you,
yes.
It's painted a little different. I've painted the background in after the horses.
Right.
And so I had to cut around the horses somewhat, and then I painted over the horses again to get them fresh. So it has two dates.
Right.
Yeah. But that doesn't hurt it. I mean,
no.
Those are some of the many sketches that I made outdoors. I don't have any money left. Probably 100 or so. I did over 1,000. I still do them. I don't often go out and paint. Fixed technique, tempera and oil.
That's weird.
Tempera and oil. And I got Pearl the Pose for the drawing of that. It's just a hot day like this. She was pretty good. I made a drawing out of it, so it didn't take me very long.
That's the one?
Yeah.
That's it.
That's lovely.
That painted in 23, was it?
Yes,
23. And I let some dealers here have it, and they took it over to Marshall High School. Isn't there such a place over by
the Yes.
They hung it over a radiator. And the kids,
it cracked,
and the kids marked it up with pencil. It was a mess when I got it back. I let them have it too long. I had it a couple of years.
I like the way you have people arranged.
You just feel the cold the way they're huddled in, you know.
And the rings around the moon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you tried a night picture.
Night? Yeah. There's another one that I did about at the same time called Early Mass.
Yes, I like that one too. That was
that's the same size as this.
That's a nice size. I didn't know what the size was. I hadn't noticed it.
42 by 54, I think it is.
That's
that Early Mass, I painted up on the reservation there in Onigan, and I got an Indian to take it across the lake to have it boxed and sent to Carnegie Institute for the international show there. And it was accepted. And then I was invited around. I never saw it again. I was invited around different places, and then Newark, New Jersey bought it.
Oh, that's the one that's in.
It's white snow and the Indians moving on.
Right.
That way.
Yeah, that's a reproduced in that book.
This one and the other one. The little monograph.
Yeah.
I don't have very many of those. Can't get them either. They're out of publication. I thought I had plenty of them. I sent quite a bunch of them. I guess not. Went. Remember?
I don't remember seeing it, no.
I don't know either. I think I added that.
Yeah, I really don't think it is, because I think it's just...
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know... Pretty sure it was.
You know, you still see those little graves up there, all through the north. Have you seen them?
No, we haven't been up there.
When they become Christianized, they'll put in a little stone like that or a cross. And on Decoration Day, the Indians go to the pagan burial grounds and take food with them, and they make paper flowers about so big, and they'll put them on a stick and set them in by a grave. And we were there one time, and there was a couple of bunches of real flowers, and they kept exchanging hands. It'd be on one grave, and then somebody would come along, take them, move them over on another grave. Pig is cochon.
Oh.
And dog is chien. And there are quite a few of them have French names. Boulanger. We got to know them for Elle. Elle was the Indian's name, and she was white. She had blue eyes, and she didn't have the figure of a squaw. And she had three boys, and they all were, two of them were in the Indian service, and another one worked in the grocery store, Quam's grocery store, in Walker. And They were very able guys, and she had a sugar camp out at the end of Sugar Point. It's a point that is north of Onigam that juts out into the big lake. It's quite a popular camping area now, but at that time there was nothing there, just all these sugar trees that had been tapped for so long that they'd start down here, quite so big around, and they'd swell up like this,
mm-hmm.
and then the regular size of the tree. All those were scars all around from this V-shaped mark they put through the bark, and then they dried in a little spout, a drain. And then they had all the containers to catch the sap were made out of birch bark, that were folded up and sewed together at the corners with the jack pine root. And then, I have pictures of the place, photographs. Then the cabin, or the lodge, was about the size of this studio, and the poles were set up in the roof, and that was left all the time, and the stove, and a great big iron kettle, so big around, about that high. And the top of the ridge was open about so much, and the kettle hung down from that. Along the sides were bunks, and all their gear was stored away very carefully below the bunks. And then this fire, two rows of stones and fires built through the middle of the floor, and the smoke would rise, and that's where they boiled out their sap. And they'd move out there in a wagon and take all their chickens and dogs and everything, and rolls of birch bark that covered the roof, and rolls of reeds, but that'd be this high, reeds that are sewed together, and that would be the wall. And when they get out there, they'd have the chickens, their dogs, and all their kids, and all these pots and things, and the framework was left there entirely, but all the rest of it took them and moved later on. Mm-hmm. And big one, made it right on that wall. That wall was all spattered with different colors. This was a nice room at one time, this amusement room here, with the fireplace and what's
the 14-year-old son saw your one entitled Halloween between the third and
fourth. Oh, at the university.
He likes it very much.
Yeah, I gave them six or seven a few years ago.
Well, there are two in the math library, one in Wilson and one there that I know of. I don't know where the other ones might be. But there are four paintings.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, they have a lot of paintings. And, you know, you can borrow them for your office.
Well, I will do that.
Did you know that?
No, he didn't. No. Look at his face light up.
You used to. You could go in the fall when the things start getting going. Go over to the gallery, and you can. Yeah, you can. They'll have to pick things.
I have heard that, but I've never done it. Actually, I didn't know what they had. I didn't know what they.
Well, they have a lot of stuff. Lots of.
That we're moving.
Mm-hmm. And put the receding colors on to come up in front. Put the blue and the black. These are all, this is acrylic. You know, it's the same as, I used wall paint before there was any acrylic made for artists. What's the date on that thing? Is it 60?
61.
Yeah, well, this will be Liquitex, which is made by permanent pigments for artists to use. But before that, I was using Chemtone and all these wall paints. Nalplex, which is put out by Dutch Boy. And I started using it before it was made for artists. I had to find something that would go fast, something that worked fast with. And, oil didn't seem to do it. It didn't dry fast enough, mm-hmm. and they'd get it into a mess, and colors would get mixed together. But this stuff dries past, and you can work wet in wet if you want to, and start out with great big sheets of color and then work right over them while it's still wet.
Yeah.
Not worry about what happens. It always dries and comes out beautifully, even like this.
Mm-hmm.
It won't build up. That's one thing about it. You get a little bit of stuff like this. So you can see that in this place, or something like that. Mm-hmm. But you have to get the texture by the brush itself.
Mm-hmm.
Either washing it thin or daubing it.
Mm-hmm. A little bit when you put over.
See, these things are just dropped on. Now this is real thin over a lighter area. See, it looks like opaque. Well, it is opaque watercolor in a way. And this is more opaque, thick. Then it goes away from your first idea, and that seems better, and then you could just follow your nose and let whatever happens. But it isn't that really that free either, because there are certain qualities that I insist on all the time. That is the opening, the three-dimensional clarity and rhythm, and the proportion of color, and big masses of movements like this one. There's one that goes up, mm-hmm. and another one that comes across. And a lot of things about painting. But actually, the final appearance, you don't know really what it's going to be. Suppose in music and composing, it's the same thing. You start in a key for one thing, and
And harmonies, and mm-hmm. counterpoints.
I think painting and music must have a number of analogies.
Yeah, this kind of painting gets very close. You would think to music. Where, because you're not being guided by the content or representation, and music, I don't guess ever is, except when they try for some kind of
music,
rare effects.
Music is really pure, good music.
Yeah,
like Vivaldi and I got a good record of Vivaldi recently.
Yeah, I like Vivaldi. Yeah.
These are different instruments, and we could play it upstairs. I laid it out.
But Dot and I would be
abstractions you get after a while, kind of repeating yourself, like that one right there, and this one, and you'll find others in the pile that are sort of repetitious. They're not just the same, but that never happens when you are working like this from the drawings that you find in nature. They're all, the arrangement of everything is always quite different. It's always very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nature is more, has such an infinite variety of it. Yeah. The planes move different. Diagonally, different angles.
Mm-hmm.
It's more apt to crack, and if it's very thick and brittle, if it gets a hit from the back, it'll splinter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that chance has been rolled out. You see there's a, you know, There's a place there. And there were a couple more in here that I had to repair. Well, I think that's the weave there. But there were some other places like this, only much worse from here. And I cleaned that up. And then I washed it with ivory soap and water. You have to be very careful though when you wash, not to get too much water on it. And be sure you, well, I use a couple of sponges, and one sponge first, just to wash a little area at a time. And then a dry sponge and take off the soap. And then some cloths and finally wipe it real dry. And where the dirt gets into, well, there are no real rough places here where the dirt could get in. Well, it could. It could get in almost any place, and you can't get it out with a sponge. Well, here's an example of it, see? Maybe some of the paint or something has come off and scrubbing. You can see those little... And if you take a small brush, a little fingernail brush, something like that, while you're washing it, and go around very carefully. And then after it's thoroughly dry, and your shirt's clean, and give it a coat of that matte black varnish.
Sure. There's a Dover headed on paperback.